This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, anybody who's studied them knows that bees and how they construct their society is really fascinating. My next guest has taken the interest to a new level in his new book, Beewise, 12 Leadership Lessons from a Busy Beehive. It's great to welcome Philip Atkinson to the show. Good morning to you, Philip. How are you?
Hello, Bobby. Good day to you. Thank you for that introduction.
Now, I'm going to use a pun and say I'm really buzzed about our conversation, but I'm sure you've heard that joke a million times. But where did your interest in bees come from?
There's loads of bee jokes and puns. It's a real gift. We can't avoid them, Bobby. Let's embrace them.
We can have one or two more as the interview goes on, but we'll keep it at that for now.
Everyone has a story about bees. And I grew up, my great uncle Jack was a beekeeper, and I was fascinated by the smell, the equipment, the taste, what he was doing. And it was just fascinating. And then fast forward, I moved to a new village and I met in the forest. There's a clearing and there's a hut, a bit like a scout hut, and there's a bee club. And I thought, ooh, I'd like to join this group of people. And I started studying beekeeping about 15 years ago.
Your job then as a coach, when did you realize that bees could actually help you with this job? It's a business coach, I believe, that you are.
Yes, that's correct. So I started studying beekeeping thinking it was a hobby that was different from work. And at the same time at work, I started studying about the psychology of change and behavior and how organizations work, thinking that was a work thing. And of course, it hit me not long afterwards that the two are very, very similar. And I was standing outside my office on a hot summer's day at lunchtime, and there were people coming and going outside a small front door. There was a buzz and there was a noise and there was an activity, and people were arriving with briefcases and ideas and experiences and leaving with product. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's a beehive. And then that's when the metaphor carried on.
If we look at then, I suppose, the workings of a beehive, and let's look at some of the, I suppose, the parallels between a beehive and a big corporation. So we've got a lot of people doing a lot of different things, but somehow in a beehive, everybody's working together. Everybody knows what their role is. So let's walk through some of these parallels.
I think the first thing is, if we just look at organizations, they're complicated. People have different skills, different roles, different responsibilities. And actually, the book is helping us to shine a light on how we work and helping people be more aware and more conscious of what they do, what they say, how they act, and how they show up. And I'm not pretending that we can all be like bees in a beehive, but it's certainly a way to start conversations. So there's a chapter in the book all about communication. And I don't know if you know, but bees communicate by a thing called a waggle dance. And actually, how they come back from finding an apple tree, for example, in beautiful bloom, and they come back covered in pollen, and they tell the other bees by the way they move, by how excited they are, by kind of the passion they bring back, how good this source of pollen is and where it is in direction in relation to the sun. And in the book, that opens up a discussion about when we are communicating at work, the words we use are actually only about 40% of what is understood. But it's how we tell the story. It's about our body language, about our passion, about our emotion, about the story. That's what gets people to understand and be motivated by what to do. So we can learn from the bees in that respect.
A couple of things I didn't know about bees. They have seven different jobs, and they only fly for the last few days of their life.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I was amazed to learn this originally way back in my studies. That's true. When we see a bee flying, it is the final 2 or 3 days of its life. Because when a bee is born, it has a career. And it has a career with lots of different roles and lots of different skills. And when they're born, the first career is being a nanny. And their job is to look after the newly hatched larvae, just like they were a few days previously. And then they stop and they are trained by the next level of bees, who are the builders. And the builders, their job is to make the wax and to secrete the wax and to build those beautiful hexagonal cells where the queen lays her eggs. They're two completely different jobs. And then in turn, they train the next level of bees to be builders, and then they're trained to be security guards. Now, it's great for the bees. It's interesting. When we talk with people about work, we talk about growing your skills throughout your career continuously. Keep learning, keep adapting, keep doing new stuff, and make sure that you're constantly growing as an employee and as a person in life.
Another one in there, which I think is, again, you could say, you know, apply it to a big corporation. When bees decide to swarm to a new location, they take time to seek second opinions from each other. And I don't know how they do that. But then once the decision is made to swarm, everybody files in and that's it. No. No more debate. We're doing this.
Bobby, I'm sure if ever you're in meetings, how difficult it can be sometimes just with a few people to take a decision. Everyone has an opinion and, you know, decisions aren't always taken the same way. Depending on the level of the topic, you need to have different decision-making models. Now, you're right, what the bees do, there's a lot at stake. So the entire life of the bee colony depends on taking a good decision. And actually what they do is they have scout bees who go looking for a new home. But you might say you get 10 bees all going. They all find 10 new homes and they come back. And they do that. They come back and they tell each other how good they think they found it. But it's quite difficult if you're in the hive to try and make sense of which ones are good. And they have people to go and get a second opinion. And then sometimes you need a third opinion. So they spend a period of time collecting data, collecting facts. And then when there's enough facts and data, the bees say, right, we now need to decide on one of them. And it's like the waggle dance. It's how well they communicate and how passionate they are. And then all of a sudden, the bees say, we are going to support this single decision. We're going to get behind one decision. So the bees who found the other sites, they have to say, okay, I trust the hive. I trust the other people that they've made the right decision, and I trust the people who've had a second opinion and a third opinion. And then all of the bees agree, and they all set off as a whole swarm to go to one new home. And it's the marvelous thing to see.
And don't they also make decisions in the hive that are, I suppose, fatal in some cases, but they're done for the greater good that is the hive? So male bees that are no longer necessary at the end of the summer, they're murdered by female worker bees so they're not a drain on resources in the winter. Like, that's pretty hard-hitting stuff.
It is. And as I say, you know, I'm not suggesting that at work we all work like bees. But it is interesting because they all work for the greater good. And in a way, you can look at a colony of 30,000 bees. In a way, it actually acts as a single organism because it's not, you know, individual bees. Yes, you're right. The male bees are no longer needed at that point in the year. And they are killed off for the benefit of the whole gene pool. It really is interesting. And I think there's a lot we can learn at work about, you know, it might be, for example, there's a project that I'm really passionate about, but it doesn't serve the whole purpose of the company. And we do need to acknowledge where we are in the system. And sometimes, actually, it's better to stop our individual projects in order to support other people and other things. It's very interesting.
And finally, can I ask you, Philip, is a business owner or a CEO a queen bee?
That's a very difficult question to answer. in our family, I think we have lots of queen bees who are competing.
But does someone have to be in charge of this? Of the one person have to be in charge of this complex unit?
It's a big topic. I don't think one person needs to be in charge, but you do need a leadership team. You do need a leadership team or a board, or might be one person, but you do need to have a clear direction where you are going. We call that a purpose or a vision. You do need to know where you're going, and then everyone can fit in and know their place. I don't claim to be the queen bee of my company, but I do work very hard to establish a clear path of where we are going to deliver value to our customers.
All right, you said you had some good bee jokes. Give us one before we say goodbye.
Oh, that's on the spot. I can't tell you a joke. I'm going to give you a quick fact, though, if that helps.
Yeah.
The queen only flies once in her life, and that's for her honeymoon. And it's called a honeymoon because she sets off and does a circle all around her hive, and then she's mated by the male bees, who are useful at that point. And then she returns to her hive, and then she's busy laying eggs for the rest of her life. And that's what a honeymoon is.
Wow. Well, well said, Philip. Your interest in bees, it's refreshing to hear. I enjoyed our conversation. I learned a few things I didn't know. So Philip Atkinson, lead author of BeeWise, 12 Leadership Lessons from a Busy Beehive. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.